Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy, engineering and producing the show, Mr. John Couch. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on Monday, January the 4th, 2020. You know, we all mark life's parade of time with milestones. And today, it's one of those milestones for me. After 22 years hosting Arizona Illustrated on the PBS channel, Channel 6, 10 years ago today, I launched the Buckmaster Radio Show. My heartfelt thanks to all of our listeners and commercial partners who believed in my vision of a talk radio show not based in advocacy, but in letting listeners make up their own mind. I think it's worth repeating the Buckmaster Show pledge, which is displayed prominently on my website. We were cited it 10 years ago today, and I'm going to do it again. Number one, listeners' opinions matter. That's right at the top of the list. Number two, respect the audience. Three, the show will be a forum for ideas. Four, we will present quality guests. And number five, the goal, informed listeners. And that's what it's all about, folks. The goal is to bring folks together right here on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. Our live line, and we're going to be using the live line pretty extensively in the coming weeks, because I'll be up front with you folks. We have reinstated our no guests in the studio policy for a couple of weeks because of the big surge in the coronavirus here in Pima County. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. You know, one of our great legacy sponsors, they've been with us since day one. 10 years ago today, we launched the program with the Monday Political Face-Off, and right there with us was Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thank you, Moe, and your entire family for your support over these 10 years. Folks can check you out, and I hope they do, by visiting you at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Law and Dodge. And moesgallery.com is their website, where they've got some revamped, doing some great e-commerce. Check out their newly redesigned website. Our team of Monday political face-off commentators on this 10-year anniversary show, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, and Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and Jeff Rogers, also well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. John Munger, how was your weekend?
Oh, just a lovely weekend, Bill. We're glad to be in 2021.
Yeah, we are. It's off to a brand new year. And John, I want to personally thank you, and I'll thank Jeff in a moment as well. John, you were with me on the TV show with our, we had the Monday political face-off on TV, and then we transitioned to radio 10 years ago. So John, I want to thank you for your support through the years, sir.
Well, thank you, Bill. I think you render a real community service and, with your shows, all of them from the very beginning, and I've enjoyed the issues that you want to talk about, and I congratulate you for trying to keep the community informed and having an opportunity to hear all sides of an issue.
Thank you, John. And Jeff Rogers, also my heartfelt thanks to you. You've been involved for many, many years with the content that we present here on our program. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, I'm happy to be there, and it's nice to see some local news shows that that people can watch and learn and express their opinions. Too much of this stuff is syndicated national programming these days, and it's not nice to have some real local talent.
Jeff, let's begin with you. What do you make of this tape that was revealed? A lot of people have heard excerpts from it. Hugh Hewitt, I think, was playing pretty much the whole tape, right? John, yeah, he played the whole tape during his show today. What do you make of the president asking the Georgia Secretary of State to, quote, find votes to overturn the election?
I think it's shocking, and I think it has the elements of several possible federal crimes, as well as a state crime in the state of Georgia. And that is now being investigated. Democrats have now referred this to the FBI for investigation. Once again, Trump's going to have to figure out a way to get himself pardoned somehow, and I don't think he can self-pardon, so I think he's going to probably have to figure out a way to resign a day early or something in order to get himself pardoned for many of the crimes he's committed while in office. And now he's got a new one on his hands here. I think most people out there, except the most extraordinary, extreme right-wing lunatics, are aghast at this. I mean, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, you name them, they're aghast that he would do this. Now, they're saying now that he made 18 phone calls before Raffensperger finally agreed to accept the phone call. And it's clear, I've listened to the entire thing, and it is absolutely clear that he is trying to solicit a conspiracy to defraud the voters and steal an election. And it's abundantly clear that that's what he's up to. He even uses the specific number of votes he needs them to, quote, find. 11,780, I think, was the amount, which he only got beat by 11,779. So he needs that many votes.
Okay.
And he talks about, uses words like recalculate. No one will blame you if you, quote, recalculate the results. So it's abundantly clear that he's asking him to try to flip the election for him. And you've got a Republican governor, a Republican secretary of state, a Republican attorney general in Georgia who have all stood firm. I mean, these are people I probably don't agree with too often, but they have all stood firm in protecting the integrity of that election. And I really, really applaud them for that.
All right. I'm curious now, John, about your opinion. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's a matter of interpretation, Bill. How do you interpret that statement? I didn't interpret it when I first heard it. I didn't interpret it as anything other than, make sure that you're counting all the votes. Make sure that there aren't some votes sitting someplace that you haven't counted. We just need to find 11,780 votes. That's the way I interpreted it. Now, I understand that the Democrats want to make a big deal out of this, but I just interpreted to mean that he just wanted to make sure that all the votes were counted, and that all the legal votes were counted and the illegal votes were not counted. And he was making sure that Raffensperger was convinced and asking Raffensperger to redouble his efforts to make sure that illegal votes weren't counted and that legal votes were counted. That's the way I interpreted it. The Democrats don't want to accept that interpretation. I get why, because they want to make a political event out of this. I just didn't interpret it that way. It's common in political discussions to say, geez, we need to get so many more votes. We need to find where we can get those votes. There was nothing said create votes, nothing said do anything illegal. He was just saying, let's make sure that all the votes were counted and that illegal votes that shouldn't be counted are not counted. That's the way I interpreted it.
All right.
We'll see how it's interpreted by other people. The Democrats and, of course, the media that all hate Trump are going to interpret it against him. But that's not what I heard.
All right, Jeff, before you respond, this would be a good place to take our break. That way we'll be able to go into this a little bit more after the break. But right now I want to thank everybody about Mona's. Thank folks for their going up to Mona's Danish Bakery over the holidays. Owner and Chief Baker, Steve, I was up there over the weekend. They had a great holiday season, and they wanted me to extend to all of our listeners a big thank you for making their holiday a very bright one up at Mona's Danish Bakery. They are open right now for lunch. They are at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle, and my goodness, we had a beautiful Kringle over the weekend. It had cherry was a Kringle, and I think I also, not I know I did. I picked up a couple of macaroons. And yeah, I gained a few pounds over the holidays, but who didn't? So we'll take a fresh start here with our resolution to lose a few pounds. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. The Monday Political Face-Off on our 10-year anniversary show presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John Munger and Jeff Rogers on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is our 10-year anniversary of the program. We are starting the 11th year as we started the first year with our Monday political face-off. I don't specifically remember who was with us, which of our commentators was with us 10 years ago, but I know that John Munger is with us right now on one of our live lines, and Jeff Rogers is with us on the other. Of course, our Monday face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Okay, let's go over to Jeff Rogers. Jeff, that controversial call to the Georgia Secretary of State does reinforce, doesn't it, Jeff, that this president has no intention of ever admitting he did not win the election. Is that safe to say?
Well, I think that's fairly safe to say. He's been steadfast in his conspiracy theories and dreams that he actually won the election when it's absolutely clear-cut that he did not. I mean, let's take Georgia, for example. Those votes have been counted three times with the results virtually identical in all three of them. And one of them was a hand count audit of the entire election. So, you know, there is just no factual basis for any of these conspiracy theories that they have about fraud. And the worst part of that call was he basically threatens the Secretary of State and the Secretary of State's lawyer with criminal prosecution in a nutshell, you know, suggesting that they've done something criminal and that he's going to hold them criminally responsible. I mean, this is an absolute abuse of power like nothing we've ever seen in the history of America. And I guess the worst part about it is shocking as this call is, it's kind of not shocking that Trump did it because he has destroyed every norm. He's going to go down in history as the most dishonest, corrupt president in the history of the United States. And 16 days, we'll be able to flush him down the toilet, I hope, and be done with him. I just hope the media doesn't, you know, think he's going to be a new source of entertainment and continue to publish things about him constantly. I mean, they created this monster in a way in 2016 because of the kind of coverage they gave him free. It was like giving him free campaign money.
All right. So, let's bring in John Munger. John, your response.
Well, let's remember this. Hillary Clinton is the first person who never accepted the legitimacy of her election in 2016. She still doesn't accept the legitimacy of the election. So, the loser not accepting the legitimacy of an election is not new. Hillary Clinton herself still believes that she was cheated out of the presidency. Now, in terms of creating a monster here, as Jeff said, it's the press that is the monster. The press persecuted, frankly, Donald Trump starting in 2015, 16, 17, 18, and 19 with all of these false allegations about collusion, et cetera, all of which have been proven to be false. Nothing the Democrats have said has ever about Donald Trump has ever been proven to be correct. There have been all of these allegations without evidence. They have persecuted him, tried their best to make his presidency a failure. They were unsuccessful in that. He's been an incredible success despite them. But to have them claim that he has done anything wrong, that's just disproven and debunked. All of the investigations showed that Donald Trump did nothing wrong. He did not collude with the Russians. They've all been Democrat lies. Now, getting back to this one issue here, it's a matter of interpretation what Donald Trump was saying. It's perfectly legitimate for a person to say, let's go back and make sure that we've counted all the ballots. Do you have any left that haven't been counted? Are you counting ballots that are illegal ballots? If you're counting illegal ballots, then that's wrong and it should be prosecuted. There's nothing wrong in doing that. There was no intimation that anything illegal ought to be done except to count the ballots correctly. But of course, the press and the Democrats don't want to interpret anything neutrally. They don't want to look at any interpretation anyway, but Donald Trump did another terrible thing. Well, they've been alleging that for years now, and nothing has proven to be true. They want to prosecute him now. What they're prosecuting him, talking about prosecuting him for, are things that he did even before he was president.
All right.
That's just, these people are on a witch hunt, and they need to stop it. They are causing the public to have a lack of confidence in the election process, and they are frankly letting illegal voting happen. Let's go back to the Georgia vote. There are 76,000 absentee ballots in Georgia that have never been the signatures on the ballots. Never on the ballot envelopes have never been checked against the original signature of the persons purporting to vote. They've never been checked, and the Republicans have been calling for that for weeks now. The Democrats refuse to do that.
Okay, John, I'm trying to, it's hard.
Yeah, let's let Jeff.
I know, it's very hard here, me on in the studio and you guys on the phone. I'm doing the very best I can to try to give you as equal time as possible. Jeff, go ahead.
Well, the truth is that if it weren't for William Barr putting his finger or thumb on the scales of justice, that Donald Trump would have been found guilty of obstruction of justice, and he still might get charged with obstruction of justice. If you read that Mueller report, it is abundantly clear that he committed crimes and that there was collusion. Second, Hillary Clinton not only accepted the results, she attended the inauguration of Donald Trump. You know, it was very disappointing for all of us, and I'm sure it was even more disappointing for her, but she accepted the results, congratulated him, and moved on. Donald Trump has failed to do that, even though he was beat this time by twice as many votes in the popular vote, and the Electoral College is by the same exact margin that he called it a giant win. So none of that is absolutely true, and I think Donald Trump is one way or another, Donald Trump's going to get a felony conviction, whether it's from New York State or from the District Attorney of New York City or whether it's from the Department of Justice. This guy's going to be a felon within the next year or two.
John, do you think
he may be convicted of a crime, but there is nothing that he did as president that is worthy of charging him with a crime. Maybe he did something before he was president, but that's neither here nor there. Hillary Clinton does still call him an illegitimate president. She says that all the time. The fact is that there are 76,000 votes in Georgia that
That's
the signatures on the ballots have never been tabulated against the actual signatures of the people who purportedly voted by absentee ballots. That's a fact. And there are too many people out there who believe that those ought to be counted correctly, and that's all the type of thing that Donald Trump was saying. Let's make sure that the ballots counted are legal ballots.
All right, Jeff, do you think the vote in Georgia will be very close tomorrow? The Senate, the two Senate positions, they're at stake.
I do. I think it'll be extremely close. I'm hopeful, but can't say I'm optimistic. The turnout for these special elections tends to favor the Republicans more than the Democrats, although the Democrats have put up a valiant effort this time around, and maybe they'll be in the game. But historically, these kinds of special elections just tend to favor the Republicans more than the Democrats. So while I'm hopeful, I'm not terribly optimistic.
What about you, John?
Yeah, I agree with Jeff. I think it's going to be a very, very close election. It's going to be which group can which side can get their votes out and actually casting ballots. The Democrats have done a very good job, and the Republicans are doing a very good job of contacting their voters and getting their votes out. I just want it to be a legitimate election. And the good news from the Republican side is we only need to win one of those seats out of two. I think that increases our odds. The Democrats need to win both to have a majority in the Senate. Our side only needs to win one to have a majority in the Senate. But it's going to be a very close election, no matter how you count it. And from everything I'm hearing, all the pollsters, all of the pundits think it's going to be a very close election. It's going to be a turnout election. Who turns out?
All right, John, did you make a New Year's resolution?
No, I didn't this year. Other than to, you know, rededicate myself to my family and to my law practice. My family first, of course. And try to live a straight and honest life, as I've always tried to do.
All right. Jeff Rogers, did you make a resolution this year?
Get a little more exercise and lose 5 pounds that I gained during the holiday.
What is it about looking at the calendar and living through the 2 or 3 weeks of December that always will translate into weight?
Well, you know, it's just, and this one, in a way, it was worse to not be able to get out because, you have too much comfort food at home.
I know. I love that comfort food. All right, John and Jeff, again, my pleasure having you guys on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot.
Happy New Year.
All right, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. And again, a big thank you to Moe, one of our legacy sponsors who have been with us since day one, presenting our Monday Political Face-Off. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge. Stop by, say hello, or visit the website, moesgallery.com. General Wickham is coming up next, right after this.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This is our 10-year anniversary show of the Buckmaster radio program. And I want to do a big shout-out to Green Things. I saw the owners, Jan and Jack, over the weekend, and they want me to extend to all of our listeners a big thank you for a great holiday season. They grew 25,000 poinsettias, and pretty much they were all gone. So a lot of people had a brighter Christmas and New Year's because of Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Tour the five shops at Zocalo Village, which is also on the 13-acre site. Their websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Time for our monthly Mexico report. Normally with Keith Rosenblum, the longtime border reporter. Keith is on an airplane right now. He's flying back to Tucson from Chicago. So we welcome to the program Pima Community College political science professor and specialist in Mexican history, Ricardo Castro Salazar. Ricardo, how are you, sir? Happy New Year.
Doing well, Bill. Thank you for having me. I hope your start of the year is going well as well.
It is so far. Actually, the first day, 4 days in, feels like things going better than 2021. Right. Ricardo, let's talk a little bit about the change in leadership in Washington and how that will affect the change in, not the change in leadership in the federal district in Mexico City, but how the Mexican government will respond to now the Biden administration.
It will probably be very institutional along the lines of President López Obrador's approach to international relations. And what we have seen thus far shows a return to a very institutional response to challenges. But of course, we are seeing some changes as well. For example, the recent approved law that addresses crime, where we see now that foreign officials in Mexico will be required to obtain permits for carrying weapons, for example, from the Defense Ministry. Something really important there is that these agents, DEA agents, for example, will be losing diplomatic immunity under this new law, and they will be required to share intelligence with Mexican officials.
Do you feel the border wall? What's your take on this, Ricardo Castro Salazar? The border wall, will they complete what they've got going on? What are you hearing? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's probably going to, we're going to see something similar to what we were seeing under previous administrations, that is previous to President Trump's administration, in terms of focusing a lot on an amicable relationship with Mexico and looking for solutions that address multiple challenges, because the immigration issue, as you know, is more of a multidimensional challenge where issues of poverty and crime and economics and all kinds of other situations come into play. So I think all of those will be addressed, or at least we know that President-elect Biden knows this history of collaboration between the two countries, and probably the focus in terms of border security will be more on technology and addressing those multidimensional issues.
Do you think the immigration policy will change dramatically, or will there be a honeymoon period, Ricardo?
There could be a honeymoon period, but I think we will not be seeing dramatic changes immediately. I think there will be a lot more receptiveness to making long-term changes and working together on solutions. But like I said, it's just probably going back to the Obama years approach on addressing all of these multilateral issues. Something that will be interesting to see is the willingness to work on an immigration plan that works for both countries.
There was never really, from what I understood in our last visit with Keith Rosenblum, he says the president of Mexico has not really formally congratulated the Biden administration. The Mexican government had a pretty good relationship, didn't they, with President Trump?
They did. They still do. And I think, yes, there was a delay in that congratulatory message that I think had more to do with the history of President Obrador's personal political experience, where he had several struggles along his political career. In essence, I think the delay in congratulations for President Biden came from a personal history where President Obrador experienced several struggles in his own political career. But I think the congratulations have now been official, and hopefully that was not something relevant in terms of the bilateral relationship. Excuse me. I know President Obrador is a very pragmatic individual, so I'm sure the relationship will evolve from there, from that perspective of pragmatism. And I know President Biden will be not only pragmatic, but he is famed for his experience in international relations. So I don't see any hurdles in that relationship. That is the personal relationship between the two.
We're speaking with a Pima Community College professor, Ricardo Castro Salazar. Ricardo is a historian of Mexican history. When you look at, what do you see as the biggest stumbling block with this relationship between Mexico and the Biden administration?
On the part of Mexico, I think there are some elements in the political left that are still suspicious of a relationship with the U.S., and they still feel, let's say, hurt because of some of the statements from the current administration. I think collaboration in terms of crime, the way both countries will fight crime, could be a stumbling block, as I was saying about the new law that has just been approved in Mexico. That is going to be an interesting thing to watch. But I think in terms, in general terms, I think the relationship will continue to grow and expand. In more pragmatic terms, Mexico continues to be the most important foreign market for U.S. goods. Even if China, for example, takes number one place in the trade relationship, Mexico still purchases twice the amount of goods or in dollar terms than China does. So as a market, Mexico is incredibly important for the U.S. and is the number one trade partner for Arizona. From that perspective, the relationship will continue to expand, I believe.
All right. Ricardo Castro Salazar, Pima Community College professor, political science. Thank you very much, Professor, for taking the time, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. General Wickham is on the live line. We'll have him next.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our 10-year anniversary show of the Buckmaster program, and I want to do a big thanks to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, for their support over the years. Folks starting to plan for 2021, and this year, hopefully, we'll be able to get away. I know that day is coming. You can start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find information about great places to stay and ideas about so many recreation opportunities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is retired four-star general John Wickham Jr., who served as U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. General Wickham was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. This highly decorated West Point graduate, General Wickham retired in 1987 after four decades of service in the Army. The Army Times has named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the Army. General Wickham's recent collection of poetry is titled On Life, Love, and Living. It's available on Amazon. He and his wife, Anne, reside in Oro Valley, and he joins us now for our 10th anniversary show on the Live Line. General Wickham, how are you?
Well, Bill, it's wonderful to be on your program, and this is, given all the challenges that the nation faces, this is a time for the nation to show goodness and kindness in our efforts, and I think we're doing that. You may recall that George Washington, when he was head of the Continental Army, the Army asked him three times to be made himself king, and he said, no, we didn't fight this war to get rid of a king to have another one. And at the Constitutional Convention, it was some disorderly activity going on. And George Washington asked Ben Franklin, an 88-year-old man, to speak to the group. And here's what Franklin said. He said, we fought this war for independence. And now the good Lord has helped us achieve independence. And now we need the good Lord's help to write the Constitution that will govern this nation of freedom and liberty for the future. And all the men bent their heads down and wrote the Constitution that very day. And I think it's important for all of us as citizens of America, given the things we're faced with and the challenges we face now, to recognize the blessing that we have in America and also the challenges that we face in assuring that the nation of blessing persists and continues on to give goodness to the world. So that's, I think, it's important as we face all the difficulties we face with medicine and with politics and with international trade.
General Wickham, I want to personally thank you for your service to this program. I first met you on the television show on Channel 6 on Arizona Illustrated. You were with me on our show that horrible day on 9/11. You were with me many times in the studio, and you've been with us over this 10-year period every month with your contribution. And I want to say thank you very much for everything you've done.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's been an honor for me to do this, and the work of you and the companies that support your program contribute so importantly to citizens being well-informed.
General, the new Biden administration, they plan to reset the nuclear deals with both Russia and Iran. Do you think that's a good policy?
I think it's important that we continue to have good working relationships with the major powers in the world. And we need to do a better job of that. We've strained them. And the danger, of course, for all Americans and the citizens of the world is that with nuclear weapons, there is a risk of war. And the risk of war may involve the loss of all humanity because of radiation. And I've been through that. I suffered some of that myself from a bomb that I saw in Nevada years ago. So, yes, we need to work with Russia and with China and other powers. And we've got to have to do a better job in negotiating with North Korea. They have 40 nuclear weapons and the makings of 40 more. And we need to negotiate more effectively with them than we are. Would the North Koreans use the weapons? I don't think so. But they can threaten us, and they can alter policy in the world. So we need to do a better job than we're doing, and this administration has not done a good job, in my humble opinion.
General, did I hear you say you witnessed one of the above-ground nuclear shots, the atomic weapon shots at the Nevada test site? That must have been a really, I guess, just kind of a horrifying experience, wasn't it?
It was. The weapon that was used, the same size, it was used in Japan, and we were in trenches to observe it. The trenches collapsed from the shock. And then we were all taken down to ground zero to walk around and see what happened to all of the objects that were down there. And then years later, I got an official document from the Department of Defense saying, you have been exposed to too much radiation. Nothing can be done about it. And you're going to suffer the consequences of it in your future. So as an illustration, we were ignorant about radiation and what it can do. And that is part of the danger of nuclear weapons and their use, if we ever have to do that. And we have thought about using weapons. Eisenhower thought about using them to end the Korean War. And I think current administrations have even thought about using them currently with Iran. So we've got to be very, very wise about how we use the weapon. We may be better off to get rid of them.
Boy, that's just, I picture you and the other troops having to tromp around in a really kind of radioactive environment. That must have been really, really something. Oh, geez. There at the Nevada test site, that must have been a really frightening experience. General Wickham, it's always a pleasure having you on our program. And again, I want to thank you for your service, not only to the country, but to this program. How are you taking care of yourself? You're 92 years old.
I'm taking care of myself, Bill, because of the privilege of being alive and being a citizen of the United States of America, and also to have friendships with people like you and your wonderful program. As you know, on my first tour of duty in Vietnam, I had three tours in Vietnam, but my first tour, I was almost killed and given the last rites from the rangers of my wounds. But I did survive because the good Lord had more for me to do, and thank God for that. So I'm trying to do the best I can, and health is part of that. And being on programs like yours is part of it. And being a kind, good citizen of the United States of America is also part of it. So you gave a wonderful service, Bill, and I'm proud to call you a blessed friend.
Same back right at you, General Wickham. Thank you very much. My best to you and Anne and the rest of the Wickham family. And I hope 2021 is a better year for all of us. And good health to you, sir. Thank you very much.
God bless, Bill.
General John Wickham, 4-star general. We appreciate his service, certainly, to our country and to this program. All right, that wraps up our 10-year anniversary show. That means 10 years in the books. We are officially now into year 11, 2021. Kind of appropriate to start a milestone with a new year. And we're all hoping that 2021 turns out to be a great year. And once again, a big thank you to all, not only all of the listeners, many of them watched me on Channel 6. I still have people who come up and say in the grocery store, I sure like you on TV. Well, I've been gone a little while from TV, but they still remember me, certainly, from Channel 6. And thank you to all of the one-time viewers and now listeners, and certainly all of the commercial partners that we have on the program, because without their support, believe me, folks, we would not have been with you for 10 years. Here's hoping for the best for the next year. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great afternoon.